Blog Talk Radio.
You know, sometimes, Jerry, I get in here trying to produce real talk, real game, and then I realize that overnight the devil has came into the studio and fell up and started twitching my plugs, man. It's like Stevie Wonder stealing your car. Man, what are you doing, Stevie? You don't get your ass off my driver's seat.
Hey, I still ain't my own forget the fact that I seen Stevie on, what street were we on? We were on, LeBron going to work, and, I seen me and my brother Freddie seen Stevie Wonder in the car driving, homie, and a boy sitting right next to him, and he was driving across the street.
Are you sure that was Stevie Wonder and that wasn't,
you know, Freddie knows who Stevie Wonder is. He pointed him out to me.
And he was driving the car?
He was driving the car, and the dude was sitting next to him, was real close to him, like telling him, you know, even see he was like a junkie.
So they was showing him how to do the do.
Right. He was adjusting, and you can see that. He was sitting in the car, the guy was on his steering wheel, and then, as we pulled up on the side at the stoplight, we were like on Santa Monica, somewhere around the Red area, boom, boom, and we saw him, and Fred was like, damn, that's Stevie Wonder. And the dude looked over, that was in the passenger seat, looked over at us, and he pulled out. But the dude was telling him what to do, so he made a green light or whatever. And every now and again, as we were traveling, you could see the dude reach over, grab the steering wheel, and adjust it.
Yeah, because he's about to
drive the car, bro.
Because he's about to hit something. Okay, well, ladies and gentlemen, we just heard a first explicit here on Real Talk, Real Game. GRX saw Stevie Wonder driving a car.
I believe you,
bro. I bet he can bake cakes and all that. Okay, he ain't had no problem finding women. He know the difference between a chest and a breast. So he might be able to see him been fooling us the whole time. I mean, how many leadership positions for the black community has he, his speeches has he been at? We used to couldn't make a move without Stevie Wonder weighing in, and now it's like you just confirmed what many think, that the man is a musical genius and he can see all along.
Hey, bro, all I know is I saw that shit on the way to go to Hollywood to do what we do when we was working, bro. I saw that shit.
Okay.
Hey, check this out. I wish back in the day we'd have a smartphone because I would have took some pictures.
Yeah, we wasn't thinking about that like way back, you see. This is why this show is going to get into metadata and geodata and GIS information systems. Yesterday on Real Talk, I got into three to four areas, really, dealing with this homeless situation that's even in your nice neighborhood now, as well as the debris and all of the extras that they bring and the randomness of folks just pulling up, sleeping all out in front of your house and this, that, and the other. But I asked a question. Because you have a national spike, in certainly here in Los Angeles, a spike in crime in the homeless community. There's a spike in opioid drug use and prescription drug use to epidemic proportions and heroin use, as well as the spike in crime in the homeless community is largely the result of not the city not being able to go in, and what they were basically doing is raiding them and not checking and creating some authority. But now you have these community organizations that's given out tents, which shield the crime, the prostitution, the drug use, and they said every time that they've had to go into a tent, it's about nearly 25-50% that a weapon may be in the tent. And a lot of the folks you'll see down in the Skid Row area in many homeless communities are post-convict. Not all, but some are and have all kinds of issues. Now, I'm saying this to set up the fact that I was reading, what is this called, L.A. Focus, and your governor is looking at cutting back Prop 47, which actually let all of the crackheads and the smokers and low-level drug offenders out of jail. And so where did they go? Right in front of your house, right downtown, right up here, set up homeless camps, went back to doing the same old grind that they know so well, and stuck on the same thing. The question I raised, and I think it's one that you might want to give us some feedback on, has the effect of Obamacare free, Medi-Cal free, food stamp free, in fact, that's the portal to get all this now, created a situation, and with Prop 47, GRX, which lets people out and turns a blind eye to their criminal behavior, is looking at it more from a compassionate standpoint, which I think is a ploy. However, has all of this, with the free access to help and the lessening of criminal behavior from the standpoint of we can't afford to lock you up, we're just going to let you back out on the street on your own recognizance, as well as the city divested in Section 8 vouchers and true homeless solving situations. Has all of this created this attitude where, well, I'm going to go smoke as much dope as I want and do whatever I can get away with because at the end of the day, I do have health coverage, and so that's new. Secondly, the police ain't checking for me. They keep letting me out. And even if I do get convicted, they only give you 10% of your total time in the county.
Right.
Has Obamacare and this whole new, it's mostly a Democratic push on the Democratic Party, since not wanting to penalize people for their wrong deeds and criminal acts, has this created this situation that has exacerbated homelessness and made it worse?
I think it has a part to do with it, but I don't say it's totally that. What I also think it is too is just like this. There are no programs in place to help them.
Well, the program they had in place was to let you out of jail for your criminal behavior, if it was crack addiction or whatever, and not to give you any services to help you get over your addiction. I also said yesterday that it started as a good idea to give needles heroin users and hypodermic needle users, but at the end of the day, all you did was turn a blind eye to heroin use, which increased, number one, and number two, you gave licensure to the average heroin user that I guess this is okay because I'm going to keep getting free needles and free health care and free service.
On the free needles, then, I mean, it's twofold, you know what I'm saying? Because we know that you reuse the needles and make sure that needles create the AIDS situation. And so, yeah, I can see them using the needles to slow that down. But in the long run, you need to get them off of it. So you need to put a program together that will help them. And they can't tell me that methadone works, because methadone is just the same.
Hold up, bro. I knew a brother over here on methadone. He's old school. I've known him for decades. He was one of the pimp players during the Gorilla Perm era in the 70s. Okay? And he's over 65, near 70 years old. And he'll tell you straight up, I'm from Hoover, and I'm goo and whatever, but you know, I was on that hop, and now they got me on that methadone. That's what he told me, and he had me stuck out. He told me he had me stuck out on the left, on the methadone. That's what he thought. I'm emulating his voice. He talks like this.
And I'm and heroin, like I said, methadone is just the pharmaceutical version
of heroin.
So basically, what you're doing is moving them off the streets and putting them in the pharmaceutical pocket.
Now that's interesting because I have had a dentist, a Chinese dentist, Chinese American dentist, who was very good.
Mm-hmm.
And are you there?
Yeah, I mean.
And dentists can get clinical prescription level cocaine. Most dentists can get that. And so before he gave you your Novocaine shot, and I had some major issues going on, I've seen him pick this opaque ball up and rub your gums to make them numb. And immediately, because of my history, I went, that's blow. I was like, hey, what's going down here? Did you bring anything? You know, I'm like, what's the teeth then, dog? Let's get cracking. By the way, if your assistant is telling you. But there is a difference between clinical grade street dope and clinical grade dope. But it's dope at the end of the day. And it has the same numbing and negative effects over long-term use. Only difference is that when you have people cooking up stuff on the street level that they don't care and they'll put anything in there to make a buck. So, the whole adage of treat your customers right so they'll come back, that's over. In fact, I see this as a trend out here. A lot of these folks are just selling one time and killing the customer.
Yeah, well, that's what to make sure of the week, because everybody's looking for a quick cover up.
Well, I need to get to a point of clarity. As this new push to ensure everybody, forgive them of their past deeds, created a situation where we aren't really taking care of business, but we are basically sugarcoating.
You
sure? Yeah, I'm here. I'm wondering about you. I hear everything you're doing. My question was, again, has this new licensure to forgive your sins and your behavior created a worse situation by which we're just sugarcoating and acting as if, as politicians, we're creating policies and solutions, but there are none. Because at the core, GRX, and we ain't going to turn this into another sermon, but at the core, I have to say that it all lacks personal responsibility. You need to be responsible for your behavior. And if you are stuck on dope after 15 years of incarceration, it lets you out on a freebie, and then you still stuck, and now you're stuck in the game. The game is laced with crime. The game is laced with death, right?
I agree with that 100% because that's what it's all about.
So is the system feeding into crime and death? That's the bottom line question.
Yeah, it's a question that we need to find an answer to. And it might be a little bit difficult to say that the establishment has been set up.
Well, looking at all you know about our development here as men in Los Angeles, and all you know about your worldly travels, you traveled all over the world. I only got as far as Bahamas, Mexico. But don't be surprised if I get to Cuba before you.
Hey, we might be on the same plane, bro.
In fact, you know, I was going to tell my mother that let's have a Unity family trip, and she got time, she got money too, and I got time, and let's book a trip to Cuba and have a good time. Me and my mother.
You know, I'm down for that. I am down to go to Cuba, bro.
Yeah.
I always am trying to plan a Cuban trip because, you know, you can't leave here to go there, so that means we have to fly to Mexico across.
Well, they changed that. That's no longer the case. We can go.
Yeah, I know they changed it now, so, yeah, now we need to get there before the major conglomerates get there, which
they're already there. Hey, CBS reported, National News CBS reported that Americans and the tourists have created a beer shortage. So I'm already pissed off. Okay? Now, if they drink a bottle of rum, I'm going to be real hot. Okay?
The rum, the cigars, the coke will kill you.
Well, Cuba got endless cigars because they ain't been able to sell it.
At least not here.
Hey, I have had a Cuban Cohiba. It is different than a Dominican Cohiba or a Nicaraguan Cohiba or a Compton Cohiba. Okay? Much different. I had a Compton Cohiba. Homie said it was a Cohiba, and I had a little extra change. I needed to smoke one, so I bought a Compton Cohiba. You know, support my local business people. You know, entrepreneur. Now, GRX, I gotta explain GeoData and what the city of Los Angeles is now doing, and how it's going to affect all the issues that we just talked about. Okay? It is complex, but you, as a military man, particularly dealing with aeronautics, if you ever dealt with mapping the general gist of what's in the cockpit so that you know what's around you when you're flying.
And generally, like you said, well, I mean, there's always been mapping in some stupid form, but to take it to the level that they're taking it now is totally different.
Yeah, this is phenomenal. And I know because I've been involved in this community since 2004-05, and getting certified in the community was not easy. I saw so many people could not do the work, and they couldn't understand the concept. Okay, let me just read real quickly. Open data may be old hat to GIS professionals like me or data science, but for others, the concept may be relatively new. If that's the case, GeoHub provides a simple and intuitive user experience for searching and mapping data categories that include infrastructure, safety, business, transportation, and recreation and parks. GeoHub marks the beginning of a new era of open data innovation in government. Actually, Los Angeles is far behind the government curve. I have said over and over that while I was at Trade Tech, I got into GIS information systems as it related to architecture, and quickly realized that I was in a geospatial platform of learning that was intelligence-based. And then I had to register for the geospatial intelligence agency. There is a geospatial intelligence agency. A lot of people don't know that. There are actually maybe 40 to 50 agencies with the same capacity as the FBI and CIA that you don't even know about.
Because I call it the alphabet soup. We can't even begin to fathom how many organizations that are out there doing the covert stuff.
Well, I mean, I'm just talking about my personal experience. I'm not an active super spy. I'm a personal spy. So I get off on my own personal missions trying to figure out shit and analyze. And then it just happened that I got enough information about how to do it on a geospatial intelligence scale that I ended up in these networks, and I started getting emails from CIA analysts and all kind of folks, Man, I'm like, okay, what have I gotten myself into this again? But but, you know, it's all good because I started in an era before Google Maps. We had to make those from scratch, okay? And my work was good early on, and my professor, who probably worked on the California platform as well as the Los Angeles platform, because she was the most knowledgeable in the business other than the company that certifies people called Esri, okay? So the city of Los Angeles has teamed up with Esri, okay, by compiling the city's desperate data set into a single LAAS platform. Los Angeles is breaking down the barriers that cause inefficiency and work is and is working toward becoming a smarter, safer city with available data by way of intuitive apps. Residents can play a greater role in shaping their government, and by providing opportunity for startups, Los Angeles can continue to ride its wave of high-tech innovation. Also, there is a law enforcement capacity and a first responder capacity, because now you will have data available to all of those communities, firemen, even plumbers, that wasn't available before. Now, you would think that a city would operate with giving their city authorities and officials the most data possible to do their job. But as you saw in 9/11, nobody was communicating with each other, and the walkie-talkie traffic actually became a problem. So the police didn't know what the firemen were doing. Firemen didn't know what the FBI was doing. The FBI didn't know what the hell was going on. And the city didn't know what was going on. And Mayor Giuliani was acting like an asshole. If you recall those days. Now, at the end of the day, though, the city will have a situation where I can search for maps. I can mash up or combine maps. I can get insights. And I can make better decisions. And so even for this show, if there's areas that we need to talk about specific to Los Angeles, because I know the technology, I can go in and look at their databases to create maps that can actually affect positive outcomes. So it also extends to, for instance, Black Lives Matter. Now you have an opportunity to actually track the behavior of law enforcement rather than having it on conjecture. Now, listen to this. Rising data breaches put Californians at risk. Last month, California Attorney General Kamala Harris released a data breach report. So we're talking about data breaches, basically hacking, similar to what the FBI just did with the terrorist phone. And recall, I told you prior that there was nothing on the phone, and now we had to wait 3 months for them to tell you, oh, one more was right, there's nothing on the phone. And I told you also at that time, 2 months ago, that they could get somebody off the street to hack these phones if they was really serious about this business. And what did they do? What did they do? They got some folks to hack the phone.
I think they could have had the phone out of weather.
I don't know if
they were really incorrect and trying to get them to, be forthcoming and to give us the information that we need so we can do what we can do. But they always have the ability to get into their trouble.
Now, listen to Kamala Harris. Government and the private sector have a shared responsibility to safeguard consumers from threats to their privacy, finance, and personal security. California is leading the nation with measures to prevent data breaches, but we can do better. All forms of fraud, including identity theft, cost Americans $1.7 billion to an average of more than 2,000 per incident. So at the end of the day, I'm trying to create a nexus for you in your mind where you will see that the geographic information platforms and access to data that the average person, we only get here statistics put on by some television pundit or some analyst, but you have the ability, GRX, to now, and I'll probably have to prep you on how to get it, because it is not as simple as just go click here, click there. I don't think that Mayor Garcetti is being as honest as possible in terms of you really do need a strong mind to understand the data after you got the data. Because you just end up with a map and you can't make no sense of it other than, oh, those are pretty colors. And those pretty colors,
you know, giving out a pretty colors and a pretty this or that to keep them confused as possible.
Well,
that was just like the threat of the terrorists. We're at orange, we're at blue, we're at green, we're at yellow. And nobody knew what that meant.
I don't think even the terrorists knew what it meant. They didn't care.
Right. The people that took
well, when you start getting into data trafficking on the positive side as opposed to data stealing, and then you have data that's available whereby you, GRX, can make an analysis about the issue that you just spoke on or any issue, okay? Or get real specific to a 24-hour, 48-hour period in your neighborhood where you just and I talked about some things that just didn't seem right, and then I said something about somebody informed me. People always informing me of crime. Somebody informed me of something this morning. Three people got shot, I guess, over on Florence and Normandy, up the street from my house. And I did see some yellow tape, but I didn't know nothing about it. And I have seen an increase in the gang rioting. And graffiti. However, at the end of the day, the ability for any individual to go further and deeper into analysis and to come up with answers. I think the big question will be if the city and those like Kamala Harris who are actually opening data sets, and I didn't get to that point, but what she's also doing is opening up data sets so that the user or the consumer can be more proactive. This is beautiful. However, you have the potential of gaining access to information that you would not otherwise be able to gain in mass, concentrated, and then you have the potential for negative.
So the potential, like I said before, when we talked about that, you can come up with a great idea and a good idea, but those who have even cooked the grind, so to speak, will make it a bad situation every time. So just in the fact that we got this data mapping and we can see where the gangs are located, where so that will somebody's gonna be smart enough to be able to read it and take it to their advantage, but to do other things. So this is how the same thing with the police officers. We can data map them and we can know that they are more in one part of town than another, but we're gonna go through the other part of town and do my work.
And then the other issue becomes even on a proactive issue, if you're data mapping police activity and or whatever you for crime activity, police activity, and you see negative trends on behalf of the police or the community, who's going to listen to you? Is there a way for them to this article doesn't speak on the ability to communicate with the city if you project or see a problem with the data available now. I mean, you and I could really get deep into looking at just a couple of areas in the neighborhoods we grew up, and be like, okay, this is alarming. Now, is anybody going to listen to us?
That's the problem.
Yeah, that's the problem. We've run out of
time to get people to listen. That's to understand what's really happening with this data mapping is the hardest.
Well, this is going to be an ongoing developing topic because you will either see real change in your hood, in your community, or you won't. And you know, the article speaks of them using the GeoHub to fix streets and roads, which in your own 56 where you grew up, they ain't never fixed. On my block, we still don't have wheelchair access, and they ain't fixed these roads and sidewalks in over 30 years.
Really?
So
at the end, what we do is we get this information, we get this raw data, it's not the raw data that we eventually use for. And we really don't know what they're going to use the raw data really for.
And we really don't know what they're going to use our input into the data for. So just because they're making it available for the citizenry doesn't mean that they're going to use it appropriately.
I agree 100% on that one.
Okay.
I think that it will be used appropriately.
All we can do is pray, GRX, and we are out of time. I did want to speak on, and we'll probably get into this with a special 420 episode if you're available, which is actually Wednesday. But changing the cigarette smoking age to 21 is about the aspect of the laws on the book that will change medical marijuana to just recreational marijuana.
Yeah, it will affect it. And I think it's changing too.
Yeah, if you look at this week, LA Weekly, they have outlined in detail what folks like me, you, and anybody that is knowledgeable of medical marijuana or marijuana as a business opportunity should be doing. And they are saying call to action, get gang tight now, because if the change happens, it's going to happen swift, then you need to be set up with whatever products you got, or whether, you know, whether it's edibles or tinctures. So with that, we're going to get into this earlier in the week, and we'll be back on Tuesday with Real Talk, Real Entertainment, and we're going to try to pull off a special 420. Okay, GRX?
We'll work that out.
We'll work that out. All right, bro, I'm out.
I'm going to
You know what's going on. Yeah.